Blog Talk Radio.
You miss me? I miss all of y'all. Hey. All y'all girls standing together. Hey. Like I can't take it.
Doing this is your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the Before You Go Pro locker room. And as always, we're excited to feed into young, aspiring football players that are trying to get to the next level, that are trying to get to college and not just succeed on the field, but also succeed off the field. Tonight's guest is a very special guest. Not only is he somebody that is a head coach at a university, but he is somebody that is a former teammate of mine from the University of Colorado, somebody that is a dear friend that I care about and really rooting him on, Coach Jason Burianic with Missouri Baptist University. So I think we already have Coach on. Let's patch him in here. Hey, Coach Burianic, can you hear us?
I can hear you, Terrence. How are you doing?
Good, man. We're excited to have you on, and I know you got a million things on your plate as a head coach, so we appreciate the time.
Hey, I appreciate you having us on, and anytime I can help you out, I'm willing to do it. I'm very excited for what you have going and all the young people that you're helping.
Appreciate it. So for those listening, Coach Burianic is literally on a bus right now. Headed out to go face his opponent. So if you hear guys in the background or if you hear other coaches, Coach is sucking it up for us tonight. So once again, we appreciate it. I want to get right into it, Jay, because I know you don't have much time, but there are kids and parents eagerly awaiting some of your advice and just feedback about football. Talk to us a little bit about your decision to go to the University of Missouri Baptist.
Well, you know, it was a great opportunity for me, you know, growing up, you know, and as you get into the coaching profession, I think you, at least for me, I set my sights on being a head coach. And in this profession, you know, jobs are tough to come by. And when there's a coaching change, a lot of times the entire staff leaves. And that's what happened at the school I was at. The head coach retired, and they brought in a new guy, and he brought in his own guys. You know, I was out looking for a new job, and Missouri Baptist was looking for a head coach to start a new program, and thank the good Lord that chose me, and you know, so it was a good fit for both of us.
Now, you grew up in Colorado, and obviously were a Buff fan and chose to go to the university. Did you always know that you wanted to be a coach?
I feel like I did. You know, even growing up, I felt like there was a calling to coach because it intertwined the two things I really cared about, which was teaching young people and sports. Those were the two things I really loved. And growing up, I'd always try to help my dad coach my younger sister's teams and that kind of stuff. And in high school, as a senior, I took on coaching a YMCA basketball team and just really loved it. So it was something I've always wanted to do.
And as I said in the beginning of the show, Jason is a dear friend, Coach Burianic of mine, a teammate at the University of Colorado. What was it about Colorado that made you decide to go there, Jay?
Well, T, you know this, and just for a little background on me, you know, My dad had worked up there and ended up working up there for more than 38 years at the university as assistant AD. And so, you know, from the time I can remember, I was going to Colorado football games. And, you know, those guys that put on the black and gold before you and I got there were my childhood heroes. And so, you know, having an opportunity to put that uniform on the same as our childhood heroes or my childhood heroes was a special thing. And it was somewhere I'd always wanted to be.
And you bring up a good point, because we work with young athletes, and many of them do have those schools that they've dreamed of going to since they were a little boy. Do you advise kids to just go with that intuition, or do you advise them to look at other options as far as college?
Well, I think they got to take it individually, you know. It's hard to turn down scholarship money. And so if, you know, you might have a dream of someday playing at a Division I school or a bigger school like I did, but, you know, another school might be out there willing to pay you and give you scholarship money. And so that's something I think you got to really look at. And then I think the individual, the players that you are coaching and helping out, you know, they got to look at, what are their goals? Are their goals to go in and be a part of a team and play right away? Or are their goals to, you know, are they willing to sacrifice maybe playing time to go to a bigger school and do something like I did? You know, when I went to the University of Colorado and had the opportunity to play alongside you, I started out as a walk-on. And so I knew that I was going to have to pay some money up front, that I was going to have to bust my rear end to get some playing time, and that was going to be down the road. But that was the route I wanted to take, and I was able to take. But I think it falls on the individual and what are their goals, because if you want to play right away and there's people out there willing to pay your scholarship money, then I think it's something you got to take a serious look at.
Great advice, Jason. You're a popular guy out in Colorado, so we already see we have a caller coming in from 720 area code. We see you, so hold tight with us real quick. Coach Birionic, tell us a little bit about playing for two different coaches in Rick Neuheisel and Gary Barnett. Have you taken anything from those guys as far as that you use today, coaches?
Absolutely. You know, I take a lot from Coach Barnett, and a lot of that is probably because I was just with him more. I was recruited a little bit by Coach Neuheisel, and he gave me the opportunity to join the football team up there. And so, you know, I take stuff from him, but I wasn't around him as much as Coach Barnett. But I take a lot from both of them. You know, the thing I think I take the most from Coach Neuheisel is that he was a player's coach. And, you know, I think at the root of things, Coach Neuheisel really cared about his players, wanted to make things fun for them. And I take a lot of that stuff and try and bring that same passion and fun and really care about the players. And, you know, Coach Barnett was a little bit different. You know, I think he cared about all of us, but he was a little bit more hard-nosed, and it was maybe a little bit more tough love. And that's something that I tried to bring as well. So, you know, there's a lot of things I take from both those guys, but probably a little bit more from Coach Barnett.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Jay. Do you mind if we take a call real quick?
Absolutely. Take a call.
Okay. Hello. You are on with Coach Wood and Coach Birionic in the BYGP locker room. Who are we speaking with? Hello, caller. Can you hear us? Okay, I don't know if they're able to hear us, but hopefully they call back. Getting to my next question, Jason. You know, you were able to win a Big 12 championship at the University of Colorado. What do you think it was about that team that made it unique in a championship caliber?
Well, you know, the first thing I got to correct you on is it wasn't me, it was we. You know, you were part of that, and it took a lot of us. And, you know, the thing, I even bring some of the stories up from when we were part of that with my team right now, because, you know, going back a year before we won that Big 12 championship, we were 3-8. And, you know, I credit your class being a year older than me, but that senior class has – really taking the bull by the horns and changing how we looked at football. That it, we really looked at it as our job, and we really set a goal, and there was nothing that was going to take us off that goal. There was things that we had to change, and the thing I remember probably the most is Coach Barnett using his 90-10 principle, and that's something I really latch on to even today about spend 90% of your time chasing your dreams and goals and 10% of your time on other issues. And if you if that formula gets off at all, you're going to see wins and losses change, and you're going to see production in your own life change. And so, you know, that's something I really hold near and dear to my heart right now. And I think, you know, if you want to be successful as an individual or as a team, everything you do has to be focused on what you want and achieving that. And it's got to be about football. You know, it can't be about anything else, going out, you know, the popularity, whatever it may be. You know, if wearing a jersey on Friday or Saturday night is the only thing that you care about, then you're probably not going to be very successful. And you really got to put in some time because it's a lot of work. And, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but to me, football is a unique sport because you put in a year's worth of work for 11 games or 10 games or 9 games, whatever it is you have, where, you know, basketball, baseball, you know, you put in a year, you might get 30, 40, 50 games. And so that makes it very unique. So when you have those opportunities to go out and play a football game, you have to treasure it. You've got to give everything you got for those 9 or 10 weeks.
Great point. That is a fabulous point. You're putting it all on the line in a short period of time, so you got to give it all you got. Talk to us a little bit about relationships while you were in college and after college. Did you find that nurturing relationships helped you trying to get college coaching opportunities?
Oh, there's no question. You know, I don't like to I'm not going to just say it was just with coaching, but, you know, I think in anything you do, you need to nurture relationships because when you get out in the real world, and the thing we talk to our guys about is we tell our guys all the time, we want them to be successful. And that means on the field and off the field, in the classroom. But nurturing those relationships is what's going to help you down the road. And, you know, obviously this is a great example. You know, you and I developing a relationship as teammates that goes beyond way down the road beyond our playing days to where we're still close friends and able to help each other in our individual fields. So that's something that's critical in whatever your field is to always nurture your relationships because you never know when you're going to need to call on that other person for help or to help you achieve a goal or a dream you have.
Perfect. And Coach, you've actually been at the high school level, and then obviously now you're at the college level. What would you say is the biggest adjustment that you see that the kids need to make coming from high school to college?
Well, the thing that most coaches say, and it is true, is the speed of the game. And the speed of the game changes drastically from high school to college. But I think if there was one thing I could tell you know, the people that you have out there listening is that they need to understand that you're going back to being a freshman again. And, you know, there's a learning curve there, just like when they were eighth grade going into high school. And the biggest thing is the hardest thing for high school kids coming into college is that most of the guys that are playing college football were very talented players. And it's hard for them to go into a situation where they might be at the bottom of the barrel again, the bottom of the totem pole, because they've had success. And a lot of them have had a lot of success at that level. And what they need to understand is college coaches are out there picking through the cream of the crop, selecting the guys that are at the top, and they're bringing them all in to be on one football team. And so there's only so much space, so some people have to wait and earn their stripes a little bit. And that patience and hard work will pay off, but you got to understand that going into the next level. It's not just going to be given to you. And just because you were first-team all-conference doesn't matter because there's a lot of conferences out there in the United States that coaches are picking through. So, you know, you got to stay hungry. You got to stay humble and go out and really go grab what you want.
Great advice, Jason. And for those out there that don't know, Missouri Baptist is a brand new football program. You are literally going down in the history books as the very first head coach for the team. Can you give us a little insight into what it was like to start a brand new football program?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, no, it was a challenge. It was a challenge. When I walked in to my office, you know, I was the only coach on staff at the time, and I was able to hire one guy. Later on, a couple months later, hired my offensive coordinator, who I'm blessed to have, Coach Charles Coe. He's got a tremendous background, coached 30-plus years at the D1 level and spent some time at the NFL level. So hired him as my offensive coordinator and been blessed to have him. But, you know, we started from the ground up. We literally have to order every piece of equipment, every helmet, every shoulder pad. There was nothing there when we started. And so to see this thing come to fruition over the last year and a half has really been a lot of fun. But it's a lot of work going out, recruiting 90-plus guys to come in and start this thing out from the ground up was a lot of fun. But, you know, one thing that we're seeing is that, you know, we're not where we want to be. It's going to be a process, and we knew that coming in. But we've got a good group of guys. We've lost some guys because they just didn't realize what we wanted, what we expected as out of college football players, and so they dropped off. But the guys we've got right now are some hardworking guys. And, you know, we're always out there looking for more talented players, but it's been a fun experience, and like you said, it's a historical thing for not only us but the school as well.
Yeah, I'm sure there's not too many head coaches that could say their first recruiting class had 90 people in it.
No, not too many at all. You know, it was definitely a challenge to go out there and find those kids, but we got it done, and now we're, you know, trying to bring our second recruiting class, and you know, obviously trying to improve on what we have already.
Great stuff, man. And for the parents out there, and also the kids, Coach, that don't know the difference between NCAA and NAIA, which is the conference that you're in, can you give us a little insight into some of the differences?
Yeah, you know, at the root of it, there's not a whole lot of difference. The biggest difference that we tell our recruits when they're asking that question is that the NCAA has Division I and television revenue that pays them billions of dollars every year. And so they're able to put advertisements on TV, and you see them all the time representing NCAA sports, and they have that ability. The NAIA is a national organization that is just very similar to the NCAA. They just don't have the money to get their name out there like the NCAA. There's a little bit different requirements as far as qualifying. So where the NCAA, you have to go through the clearinghouse and you have to meet core requirements for academics and stuff like that. The NAIA doesn't have that. We do have an eligibility center. But in order to be eligible to play NAIA sports, you have to meet two out of the three requirements, and those three requirements are 2.0 GPA or better, an 18 ACT or better, and the other thing would be an 860 SAT score, and then you got to be top half of the class, of your class. So if you meet two out of those three requirements, you'll be eligible to play NAIA sports. And so it opens the doors for some more athletes, I guess, guys who maybe aren't NCAA qualifiers, and it opens the doors for them if they meet those requirements. So rules-wise, all that stuff, very similar, and play a lot of good competition. So it's just another avenue. And the difference is, what I tell guys a lot is, the NAIA is very similar to Division II. Because we are able to give scholarship money, whereas NCAA Division III is not. So we can give athletic aid just like a Division II school can. And so it does open the doors for a lot of different athletes.
And currently, as far as recruiting, Coach, are you guys recruiting specific areas across the country? Where do you guys like to recruit?
We'll do anything. You know, we don't have a huge recruiting budget like a Division I school or some of the bigger Division II schools, but we will recruit. You know, the thing that is great about your business, and you and I were talking about it before we went on, is the Internet. You know, the power of the Internet, you're able to reach people nationwide with email and Huddle and videos and other websites like yourself. We're able to recruit nationally. Now, we focus a lot of our time and energy around the surrounding states, Missouri, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, but we go nationwide. You know, we've got a coach on our staff from Southern California. He coached at St. Augustine High School down in San Diego. And so, yep. You know, we want to hit California. We get into Texas a lot, and you know, we have a coach from Georgia. So, you know, we recruit nationally, but we're trying to find the best players out there to come in and help us grow this the foundation of our program.
Fabulous information, Coach. And a couple more questions, and we'll let you go. We really appreciate your time. For the time, because you already mentioned that you had to let a couple kids go, unfortunately, do you guys find it increasingly difficult to judge kids on character and what type of kids you want in your program?
Yeah, it is getting a lot harder. And we sat down as a staff, and we sit down every day and have a staff meeting just like pretty much every other college staff. And one of the things we talk about on a daily basis is recruiting and just finding those high character kids. We've got to have that, you know. And I go back to what I said earlier about having that 90-10 principle, that if you're a kid who isn't a high-character kid, you know, it's hard for you to focus on football and school and being successful. Those are the type of kids we need and the type of kids we want. I will sacrifice talent on the field for somebody who is a good, smart, hardworking, intelligent kid because we're going to get more out of them in the end than somebody who's just – very talented, but they might be selfish. They might not have high character and got to be somebody that is getting in trouble off the field. You know, we don't have time for that. It's hard enough for us to win football games, and that goes for any staff out there. We need people who are going to represent our school and our institution and our program in the best manner. So if you're not somebody that has high character and is willing to go to work every single day, then we're probably not going to recruit you. And, you know, one thing that we look at very hard is if a kid comes through and all they want to talk about is going to the NFL, we stop recruiting them because they don't have their priorities right. The reality is, and you know this as well as anybody, that making it to the NFL level is extremely difficult, and it comes with a lot of hard work. And that's something that you just shouldn't be thinking about coming out of high school. What you should be thinking about is becoming the best player you can be. Getting yourself a college education, and if you're good enough, it doesn't matter what school you're at, if you're at Missouri Baptist or you're at the University of Alabama, but if you're good enough and you work hard enough, then the NFL is going to find you.
Well, I had another question for you, man, but that is such a good response. We'll end it on that note, and I wish you the best of luck. You just got your first win of the season last game and first win of that school's career, so congratulations.
Well, thanks, T. I appreciate it, and, you know, if you need to stay on the line, I got some time, but, you know, I appreciate you having me on.
No problem. This is the first time of many. You're doing an amazing job, and just really proud of you, man, and wish you the best of luck. And you have one of our young players out there, Bradley Broussard. You tell him we said hello, okay, Coach?
We will. He's doing a great job for us. And, you know, the best thing I can say about Bradley is he's a good football player, but he's a better kid. So, you know, that goes a lot to his parents. We've gotten to know them pretty well, but also I know that they speak very highly of what you guys have done, and that type of character is stuff that we need. And, you know, the biggest thing from our standpoint is we can mold young men into good football players because that's our job, but we can't really mold them into good, high character and kids that have really strong values if we don't have that at least some type of foundation coming in. So that's very important.
Fabulous information, man, and I hope that you young kids and parents and coaches out there got something out of Coach Burionics. Locker room show tonight, I'm sure you did, and I wish you the best of luck, Coach. You guys have a safe trip.
Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Okay. So there you guys have it. That was Coach Burionics from Missouri Baptist University. That's an NAIA school. Very dear friend of mine, somebody that I played with at the University of Colorado. He has the principles in place. He has the foundation in place to really do some amazing things at that university. And as you guys heard, they're looking for talent. You know, they're looking to build a program, and they're looking for the right type of kids that understand the value of an academic and athletic opportunity. So hopefully that is you. We already have one kid up there, and I know Coach Burionics would love to have some more BYGP kids. So stay tuned. And on Tuesday, we have a great show with another former teammate of mine, Mr. Dan Graham. He was a first-round draft pick of the New England Patriots back in 2002 and just retired a year ago, the Denver Broncos, and finished off with the Tennessee Titans. Tight end, he's played with Tom Brady, he has Super Bowl rings, and just a bunch of great advice to share with you guys. Once again, I hope you got something out of tonight's show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP team. You guys have a good one. We will see you at the top. Bye-bye. Thank you.